Buccaneers fans, this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a family-owned shop since 1960, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. You can start shopping there. Don't worry, drive Curry. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And Ira, we will describe you as being from JoeBucksFan.com in your ninth year with us. Unbelievable how time has flown. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richey. And we've got plenty to get to on this podcast. It's our first one since the game on Monday night. Ira is, he's going to tell you where he was broadcasting from tonight on the next podcast, but the sage really going above and beyond to be on this podcast between not feeling well and having this special circumstance. The sage really stepped up. So kudos to him. And they always step up at Bill Curry Ford. Now, GM Sean Sullivan, he is your go-to guy. He's the general manager of the dealership, the big boss, and it's a huge dealership, completely modern, a mile north of the stadium. And you can reach out to him and ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. You can also ask him for guidance in the car business, and Sean is fantastic for that. It could be body work. It could be, what do I want to look at, Sean? I'm planning to buy a vehicle at the end of the year. I want to price my trade. I've got some questions. I want to get my kid in a car. That kind of thing. He is there for you. BillCurryFord.com, or of course, come on into the dealership. It is gorgeous. BillCurryFord.com. And the podcast is also delivered by Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Look them up. Google them. Get to their website. You will see how they are the best in the business. Fantastic. And what a difficult time for companies in this industry. Florida's Elite Restoration, if you have a fire at your home, mold, flood damage, storm damage, whatever it might be, you want to reach out to them first before you call your insurance company. You can get a free evaluation by phone, in person, with the greatest technology. When you call and mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan, if you need their service after your evaluation, after they assess everything, you'll get $500 back, cash for your deductible or just money back on your restoration and repair. They're a full one-stop shop. They go across the state, service the whole Tampa Bay area. They're locally owned. Owner Josh Martin is fantastic. He's been doing this for decades, and he's worked on both sides of the business, so he knows how to work with your insurance company, which is 150% critical to make sure that your property is preserved and restored. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. All right, we're going to get to the three of us having this podcast here. We're going to dive deep on the two-point conversion and some of the angles there, some of the nonsense, some other things we've been hearing. Lee was in Kansas City. Most media was not there. Very low turnout for the local media. And we've also got chatter about the upcoming game, where the Bucks stand, and a lot of other stuff. So enjoy. All right, Sage, look, crazy game in Kansas City. We've had some time to digest this whole thing. And of course, Todd Bowles has taken it on the chin in most areas, not all. And you're one of the ones who went a little easy on him, or just really didn't focus on it too much. But bottom line, the two-point conversion has got people talking. He didn't take it. It will all weigh in on it. But what say you, Ira?
The first thing that strikes me, and he's right, it caused a furor in Buck Nation. Lee, the more I think about it, Lee, I think it is a tremendous indication that the fans are disenchanted in general with Bowles. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for reasons, you know, to move on from this guy. That's the first thing I'm thinking of. He has not won over the fan base, not even close. As far as the actual situation, Lee, I'm going to stick with for a second for what I wrote down that night, fresh in my mind. Out of 32 head coaches, no more than five would have went for two. I'm telling you. And really? People think that's crazy, and I'm nuts. But, Lee, you don't see that happen very often, where a coach goes for two to win the game rather than extend it in overtime. It's very rare that a coach got the balls to do it, number one. And two, they have to feel that they have some kind of security, because that's the kind of thing that gets you fired. If you go for it and you don't make it, the way some people are putting it, it's like it's a no-brainer. That was not a no-brainer, Lee. That was far from a no-brainer. Now, there is a Mahomes factor, Lee. I grant that.
Significant.
You're not playing Bryce Young. There's no question about it, Lee. No question. But, you know, the Bucs don't have that many weapons that, you know, they don't have Evans. They don't have Godwin. That's a factor on the other side. It seems like everybody, it's just too easy. Like, oh, come on. Of course you should have went for two. Even some national pundits have weighed in on that. But I just think it's another glaring indication that Buck fans are just, they're not very happy with Todd Bowles, period.
Well, Todd Bowles doesn't come across, you know, we know him. Fans, about 98% of the fans don't know him. But they, so they can only go by public perception and image. And Bowles does not project the image of a ruthless killer that you kind of have to have as an NFL, a successful NFL coach. A coach that's going to go for gusto. Arians had that. Now, that may not be accurate as far as what he is as a coach, as a human being. But, you know, he has that passive image that he shows on the sidelines, his press conferences. His face barely cracks, smile, frown, whatever. He takes the ball out of Tom Brady's hands when he's going in for a winning touchdown drive up in Cleveland. And this, to me, is the mirror image of that. You had a chance to stick a stake into the heart of the vampire known as Pat Mahomes, and you passed. And I know the stats are out there. Oh, when you, you know, this and that and the other thing. And Steve made this point already as well on the website. None of those stats factor in Mahomes. Or if they did, they sure didn't explain it. I would love to know what these stats are if you give Patrick Mahomes an entire overtime period. That if you go for one instead of two, and you give Patrick Mahomes a full overtime period to beat you. I would love to see those stats. So to me, everybody bringing up all these stats, like, oh, if you go for two, for all I know, that's Aiden O'Connell on the other side of the field. It's not Patrick Mahomes. So next time someone throws those stats in my face, they better include what those stats are with Mahomes being on the opposite side of the field. That's number one. Number two, you guys hate him. I'm going to bring it up because I want to cite an actual human being where I get the information from. Mike Lombardi always hollers how the stat geek coaches don't have a feel for the game. Well, you got a feel for the game. Number one, you're going to put Mahomes out of his misery. Number two, if you had a feel for the game, you know that Mahomes just scored on you twice in the last three drives. And I know people say, well, he had 27 seconds. Well, you tell me which would you rather have. Pat Mahomes limited to 27 seconds to get in field goal range, or Patrick Mahomes with an entire freaking quarter to work with?
Lee makes a lot of good points. Steve, before I turn it to you, I want to get one more wrinkle on this. And Steve, I want you to reply to this directly, because it's another part of this two-point conversion, and I don't believe this part either. The idea, Steve, the suggestion that if Bowles went for two and was unsuccessful and they lose this game in 24-23, that there'd be not a peep from Buck Nation, not a peep from anybody that's weighing in on the game. Everybody would understand that Bowles did the bold move, and sometimes you come up craps. I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy it. I think if they would have failed and lost the game right then and there after playing a damn good game, I think Bowles would have came in for a lot of heat, Steve.
All right, Sage, I'll address that first. I don't think he would have gotten a lot of heat at all. I really don't. I don't logically know why it would have come. The team strength is the offense. Now, we know that. The fans know that. The statistics say that. I'm not sure Todd Bowles realizes that. And that's a little bit scary, because the big money guys, you got the ball in your hands. Do you want to leave it with Baker Mayfield and have somebody run behind Tristan Wirfs? Or do you want to see if Tryon Shoyinka and the boys and KJ Britt can stand up tall one more time, and Josh Hayes? It doesn't make any sense. So I don't think the fans would have barked at all. I really don't. But here's the thing, Ira, and this is where I think Lee's missing a little bit of something. If the Bucs go for two there, they entered that game as the number one team in the league on third down. Number one team in the league.
Yes.
So basically, you got to get 2 yards for a first down and a touchdown. So there is no better team in the league to execute that first down. Now, I understand Mike Evans and Chris Godwin aren't there anymore, but they've been moving the football, and they were moving the ball pretty well. So I don't understand that end of it. But bottom line is, if they score, he still has the ball and 3 timeouts left to get into field goal range. And he's done that many times before with 27 seconds left, and they've got an A-list kicker. So I don't understand why you wouldn't go for it, because if you tie it up, he still has the same 27 seconds. Time doesn't tick off the clock on a 2-point conversion, unless they've changed the rules that I know of, and they're just going to kick the ball out. They're just going to kick the ball out of the end zone after the extra point. So something doesn't add up, Ira, and it doesn't help that Todd Bowles has given a bunch of excuses. All he had to say was, you know what? We didn't like the looks of it. We didn't like the feel of it, and we thought this was the best way to go. But he's talking about the weather. He's saying, the rain had picked up a little bit. What the hell does that mean? Is he a weatherman now or something? Is he like, Dennis Phillips or something? Did he know that if the rain was going to get worse in 2 minutes or better? Or, he didn't know what was going on. And he said today on his radio show yesterday, it was predetermined before they scored the touchdown that they weren't going to go for it. So I don't know. It all smells very strange, but I think the fans would have been easy on him if he had just decided to be aggressive and go for the win when you had a chance on the road against a team with a 13-game winning streak. Very strange.
I didn't understand the weather remark either. Lee, I'm going to push back a little bit on Steve in one regard, Lee, and tell me if you agree. Steve said either way, Mahomes has 27 seconds. But, Lee, I think his mindset is very, very different if they're down a point or if they're tied. I think it's very different. First of all, you got 4 downs to work with if you're down a point. You don't even think about it. That's number one. So you're given, you might be in a situation where you're giving Mahomes an extra down. You might. Lee, if it's tied, which it was, sure, Bowles wanted to drive for a field goal, but in the back of his mind, Lee, don't do anything stupid because we can go into overtime. So I think Steve's missing that little point in terms of the 27 seconds. It doesn't change the whole equation about Bowles. He's under scrutiny. I don't know how the Glazers feel about what happened. And here's the sad part, Lee. Here's the really sad part of the whole thing. It kind of obscures the fact that, he had the Bucks ready to play. Sometimes he doesn't have the Bucks ready to play. That wasn't the case Monday night. Lee, they were extremely competitive. I don't think they outplayed the Chiefs, but they were very competitive. And it was an impressive showing by Bowles' team, Lee.
He did a solid job. And, we could talk about, history says you do this, and they've got overtime. The shadow of Patrick Mahomes renders history and stats out the window, in my mind. Irrelevant. You're going up against one of the best quarterbacks that ever lived, that lives for those moments. In my choice, I'm not giving that guy an overtime period to beat. I'm going for 2. I'll take my chances with 27 seconds. There would always, no matter what Bowles did, there was going to be blowback, because people like to pile on Bowles. I'm in Steve's corner in the sense that the blowback would have been muted compared to what it is and what it was Monday night, Tuesday. There was going to be blowback regardless, but I don't think it would have been near the volume as was what it was Monday night and Tuesday. I don't know if you heard this or not, Ira, but Baker Mayfield said today, Chiefs defense was shot.
Yeah, and Lee, that tremendous look on Mayfield's face when he lost the coin flip, I mean, that's a classic. Lee, just to back up your point about Mahomes, I think this is the best way to look at it. Lee, he's in a class with Brady, Montana, I would say John Elway in his peak. In this regard, Lee, and it's a serious category. Lee, when you're playing the Chiefs and you're losing and there's 3 minutes left and you're down by 4 and you need a touchdown, Lee, you got 2 things on your mind. They're almost equal. We got to score and we got to take the time off the clock. That's what happens when you play Mahomes.
Yep.
You have to think of these things. You're not going to think that way necessarily if you're playing Jalen Hurts, who's a decent quarterback. But it's just not the same. Like
Desmond Ridder.
Steve, maybe Elway. Elway was maybe in that category. You can't give him the ball back. Certainly Brady in Montana.
Roger Staubach was lethal.
Maybe Staubach. That's where Mahomes is, Steve. That's where he is right now.
I have a real quick about the wet weather, the wet conditions, quote-unquote. Monday night, I knew the players didn't want to talk, and I was absolutely perplexed, if not obsessed, with not going for two. I said, I'm going to the press conference. I don't usually do that. This time I had to. Questions needed to be asked.
So, you asked them.
Yeah, and I didn't go over too well with the Bulls. But, you know, Almanov, Greg Almond of Fox Sports, he asked Bulls the first question. That's when Bulls brought up the wet conditions. I thought I misunderstood him. And I asked him for a clarification. I didn't get one. And so I go back to the video. Like, he couldn't have said wet conditions. Start off, that's exactly what he said. I didn't misunderstand him. So that really threw me a curveball. And you know what? In the wake of this event, you know, Steve wrote the story out. Bull said this was all determined before the drive. Right. And the fact that Bulls gives a different answer every time, I'm pretty convinced the people upstairs, the stat people, and I don't want to out anybody. You guys may. But I think that was determined not by Bull. I don't think it was Bull's call. Now, call me a conspiracy theorist, but it sure points to that.
Well, that's what it sounds like, Steve. You know, part of me likes the idea that they anticipated this situation. How could you not, Steve? How could you not? You're down by 7. You're driving. And so you have to have the thing prepared, Steve. You don't do it on the seat of your pants. Steve, the only thing I could think of with the weather was, you know, maybe he's worried. They say you have a well-designed two-point play, and the guy slips. The guy slips. Well, a Chiefs guy could slip too, Steve.
By the way, I'm
totally confused because, all right, so we know Jackie Davison is in his ear as the analytics person. We all learned that on NFL Network. So if she's telling him, Todd, we should kick the extra point, that's what the data says. I'm assuming she doesn't go into the background of it all. She's just saying that's what the data says. It's 100% his, right. 100% his decision. I mean, I don't know why it's not his call. It's 100% his decision to make, but there's no logic in, okay, it's too wet to go 2 yards, so we'll get the ball back and drive and drive 55 yards or 70 yards. It makes no sense. So, I mean, Bulls is, look, let's just call it what it is. He's bullshitting the fans, and that never goes over well. And it's as if, as I said before, it's as if he doesn't understand that his defense sucks. And if he doesn't get that, maybe that explains why they didn't try to make a trade. Maybe that explains why there's no panic when they're struggling so badly defensively. I don't know, but it doesn't make sense. And when you start conning the fans and making up stuff, I don't know what the weather has to do with going 2 yards. I don't get it.
Steve, I'll take your point one step further. Bulls doesn't want to publicly admit his defense sucks. Because if you're a defensive coach and your defense sucks, what's the point?
Yeah. In general, and this isn't the first time, his explanations in these sensitive matters, they're not very good.
Well, that's why I think he's covered for somebody or something, because that's natural. Yeah. If you're trying to cover for something, and you know, Steve said, well, that's his final call. He's the coach. I agree with that, but guess what? There's an entire freaking sport that relies on stat geeks that have neutered managers, and that's baseball. You know, we got to pull this pitcher after 3 outs because the numbers say, oh, you know, the guy's cracking curveballs off the freaking table. But no, you got to pull him off and set yourself up to get beat by some slob that can't throw well because that's what the numbers say. So I would not be surprised whatsoever if that wasn't Bull's call. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
But what do you mean by not Bull's call? I don't understand. Who is he answering to?
You said her name.
But what is her authority? Like, who gives her the authority to do that? She works for him.
Blazer. Could be in the contract.
No, it can't. It can't be.
I don't dismiss it. I do not dismiss it because I know that the Bucks organization is big on analytics. Given the way Bulls is reacting, it does nothing but reinforce my hunch that was a call from upstairs.
One more point in general. You know, look, I'm not saying it's a majority of Buck fans, but, you know, in the aftermath of that game, tough loss, obviously. Lee, some Buck fans are saying it's over, season's over. I think these people are crazy. I mean,
if you think they're going to run the table in the second half, it's not over.
Well, they got a chance to win Sunday. I mean, it's not like they're playing the 62 Packers. Take it easy. Steve, I'll go a step further. Even at 4-6, we talked about this, Steve. It's not over. It's just not over. I think the division might be basically over. Okay, I'm with that. Unless the Falcons go 3-6 down the stretch, and I don't think they will. I think they're, you know, I hate to say too good, Lee, because I'm not a big believer in Atlanta, but 3-6, you can't bank on that. You just can't. So, you know, I think Atlanta's going to reach 10, minimum. And that means the Bucs got to reach 11, Lee, and that's not going to happen. But, Lee, the schedule is the schedule, and they did it last year, Lee, and that's what I'm banking on. They did it last year with most of the same players, most of the same coaches. Lee, they lost 6 out of 7 mid-season. Looked like it was over, and it wasn't, and it wasn't. So they're going to have to get in on a wild card, but I don't think it's nuts that they could get in. I just don't.
I don't have any faith in this defense. I know they look good against the Chiefs. Well, sort of good. I mean, they're still soft in the middle. DeAndre Hopkins made that nice play, like Steve wrote about it. Winfield should have had that pick. I don't think Winfield's 100%. Honest to goodness, I don't. I have no faith in this defense. No edge rush. Rotten linebacker play outside Levante David. Soft in the middle. Guys open all over. If I trusted the defense and had faith in it, yeah, I could see him running the table with the schedule they have, but I don't trust this defense.
Well, he did have 4 sacks against Mahomes, who doesn't get sacked all that much, Steve.
Mahomes also demonstrated my pressures are BS. The pass that he completed to Hopkins over the middle that Winfield didn't make the play, he got blasted on that play. There was guys all over him. Pressures don't mean anything to good quarterbacks.
I'm not sure there's anybody but that Mahomes that could have laid that ball out like that. And Steve, having said that, the Bucs needed to knock that down. They did. They had 2 guys all over him. Hopkins made a fantastic play. And I'm not going to kill Josh Hayes that he got beat on a slant by Hopkins. Steve, I'm not going to kill Josh Hayes.
If he's out there, and he shouldn't be, he played terrible.
Well, Bowles says played pretty good, except for a few plays, which is always kind of funny.
It was a parade, Mrs. Kennedy.
I agree with you, Ira. I agree with you completely. Look, they just played a game where they could have beaten the Super Bowl champs, so they took them to the end. They're capable of winning 6 out of 7 down the stretch without playing over their heads. And 10 wins has made the playoffs in every year with every team since they realigned to have 3 wild card teams a year. So it's there for them. And like you said, they can win this weekend. San Francisco is not playing great football this season. The road record isn't so great. It's going to be a big challenge, of course, but they're not dead. Anybody saying they're dead, they're not dead. They got a lot of work to do, but I'll say this, Ira, it's been brought up before. You know, you've talked about it. Lee's mentioned it many times that the Buccaneers, media relations department, I don't buy it, but they coach up these guys what to say. Well, if they actually do that and they coached up Todd Bowles to change his story 5 times on a play that he wasn't even in charge of making, then is a head going to roll? Is somebody going to get in trouble for that? If that's part of the situation here, him miscommunicating, there's a whole team of people in charge of communicating. And based on what we've heard for like 3 days in a row, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
You know what it reminds me of, Lee? Maybe last year was even worse, but Lee, after the Detroit playoff game, not calling timeout, you know, give yourself one last chance, even if it's 3%. You know, this is the game that your season's on the line. And Bowles said, Lee, after the game, it wouldn't have mattered, something like that. I mean, fans don't want to hear that kind of stuff. They don't. Bowles needs better explanations. It's hurting his credibility.
Yeah, that's the way Bowles is. Bowles is Bowles. I don't know what else to say. You know, you can't coach up a guy to be Sam Kinison when he's not Sam Kinison.
So, Sage, look, the offense continues to play well without players. They lost Jalen McMillan at the last minute, which I think is more of the key to that loss, because Mayfield said that, hey, we had some plays in there for McMillan and blah, blah, blah. He didn't play. They didn't miss him. And you got Otten, you know, doing his thing, and Sterling Shepard making big catches, Rakeem Jarrett making tough catches, Trey Palmer getting him down to the 1-yard line. They're still able to run the ball. The offensive line was not overmatched against an excellent defensive front, a playoff caliber defensive front there. Vita Vea was a monster. And, you know, the 60 snaps, Ira, that Vita Vea played in that game, that's the most since 2021. And he's obviously he's obviously capable. Maybe he's got to play more. because they were dynamite up the middle there with the pass rush, especially, you know, overall. How do you feel that they showed up?
I tell you what, lately, anybody that's not impressed with Liam Coombs right now is, you know, they're not watching Buck football. And the coaching staff's done a great job. I don't know who to credit, but Otten's development, Lee, is startling. It's absolutely startling. I've been watching him closely at home. I got the binocular specs on him. I'm watching the road games on TV. He's a very nice route runner. You know, is he Travis Kelce, who I think is just absolutely extraordinary as a route runner? No, who is? You know, first ballot Hall of Famer. But the guy makes sharp cuts. He's a very tough cover, and he's tough, period. You got to love everything about this guy right now, Lee. And one more thing. You know, Shepard, he did make some great catches. He absolutely did. But Lee, he's also being used smartly by Cone. Some of these inside handoffs, we didn't see these kind of things last year with Canales. We didn't see that kind of creativity. I got to give Cone a lot of credit. They haven't missed much without their two stud receivers. They keep moving the ball, Lee, and moving the ball.
I thought that game Monday night was so well coached up by Cone. Just smart plays, creative plays, interesting plays, and they worked, and they produced, and they got yards. And that's without his top two receivers and another guy. I don't know if he started the season at number three. I can't say he's a number three. I can't say the Bucs have a number three because no one's really grabbed the bull by the horns, so to speak. But he's, you know, without three receivers he banked on this year. And still, the offense hung pretty well against a very good defense. I'd be very surprised if Cone's not coaching a head coach somewhere next year. I don't know if it's college. I don't know if it's the NFL, but he's doing a hell of a job, I think.
Steve, I didn't like the Buck run defense in the second half and overtime. I don't know if they got wore down because the Chiefs had a lot more snaps than the Bucks had a lot more time of possession. But they bottled off Kareem Hunt very well in the first two quarters, Steve. He was a big factor. And then he was. So Derrick Henry did the same thing, but Kareem Hunt ain't Derrick Henry in terms of wearing you down. So I thought that was a little disappointing. I think he had 90 yards after the second quarter, Lee. He only had 106, and 90 of them came after halftime. That was disappointing.
Yeah, they got worn down, and that further makes you wonder why Todd Bowles wanted to put his defense on the field potentially a lot more after they had already had 70 plus snaps. Oh, let's go to overtime, and we got a short week. You know, nothing added up with that. But, you know, here we are. I thought the offense was great. I love that Mayfield snapped out of it with no interceptions, played good ball. Iron, and I mean this in all seriousness, and then we'll wrap up here. I know literally this sage is taking time out of a very special moment in his family life to be on this podcast, which is really cool, Ira. We won't reveal where you are. You'll tell us when on the next podcast. But
dedication.
So, Ira, have you ever heard of this? And same with Lee, in the history of football, and I'm not even joking about this. So Baker Mayfield, through nine games, has 23 touchdown passes, nine interceptions. He's second in the league in yards. He's run the ball extremely well, and he's completing at a 71% rate. Have you ever heard of a quarterback with those kinds of numbers and his team is 4-5?
Oh, interesting.
Now I see where you're going, Steve. It would be rare, Steve. It would be rare. Now, look, they've been playing football for over 100 years. I'm sure it's happened. But it's not easy to do when your quarterback is playing like that. And when your whole offense, when the whole offense is playing like that, and then you're under 500. But, you know, a win Sunday, I think, would do wonders. Like, absolute wonders.
They need to win. They need to win. It would do wonders for just morale. You know, get off this losing streak. You beat a good team like the 49ers. I understand they're not playing like they had, like you would have thought they'd play. Good in the sense that Kyle Shanahan, look at Kyle Shanahan's history against Bowles. It ain't pretty for Bowles. So, I mean, it would be so good if they could beat the 49ers. So good. And by the way, I'll take a stab at a quarterback who had such excellent stats and their team was losing. Joe Gibbs' first year in Washington. Joe Theismann was lighting up the league, and I think they had a losing record. Did that ring a bell at all, Ira? You called that division back then, or you covered that division back then.
That could have happened, Lee. That could have happened before the Redskins really became a dominant team. Yeah, that could have happened.
You want a media story for Monday night?
Sure.
Two things. One, the Kansas City reporters came up to, you know, there's only three Tampa Bay area people, or, you know, that cover the team that were there. Myself, Greg Allman, I mentioned him earlier, and Jen Elaine of ESPN. A couple of Kansas City beat guys, they came up to us like, what did Bowles say about not going for two? And we told him. And these guys were like, they could not believe Bowles didn't go for two. As a matter of fact, one guy was telling me, goes, I fully expected to see Baker Mayfield run a quarterback draw for the win. So I'll just leave it out. And here's the other media story, Ira. One of the Bucs media relations people, you know, that awful face mask got called on Christian Wirfs. And Steve called out that penalty. Wirfs was despondent after the game. And I knew better than to talk to him. I could see, you know, he's hunched over his locker. He wasn't moving, wasn't looking at anybody, wasn't talking. And after a few minutes in the locker room, one of the Bucs media relations people went up and kind of, I was standing right there, kind of went up and advised Tristan, like, hey, you're asked about it. Be careful because you don't want to get fined. Talk about lighting a Roman candle. Wirfs went bananas. Just started screaming and cussing and hollering. He wasn't exactly calling out the media relations staffer. He was venting his frustration about that call, how terrible it was. I never saw Wirfs like that. Never, ever. He went crazy. Not too happy. Let's put it that way.
Hey, Steve, speaking of Wirfs, did Aikman call him the best left tackle in football Monday night?
Bill Belichick.
I thought he did.
I'm not sure if Aikman did. But Bill Belichick had put out his all Belichick team that week for Bleacher Report. It was on his own YouTube page. He agonized and he chose Wirfs as his number one left tackle as far as playing in the league this year. Best performance. So,
what a credit to Wirfs that is.
Belichick, I thought it was very interesting. Belichick also talked on the Manning cast about what a great guy Jason Light is to work with. Now, that's kind of an interesting statement from a guy who's looking for a job. I thought the same thing.
What do you make of the Bucs inactivity when there's clearly holes on the roster?
Well, here's one possible explanation, and I'm not sure I'm satisfied with it, if it's true. I think Light has a lot of confidence that some guys that are struggling that he drafted are going to turn this thing around in the second half of the season. And so he doesn't think that and somebody that they can bring in is going to be much better than these guys. Lee, that's a dangerous thing sometimes, you know, when you want to stick with your guys. Sometimes you can be a little too loyal. I'll tell you what, I don't think there's any chance that it shows that they think the season's over. I don't think there's a chance in the world that that's what's driving their inactivity. I don't think from the Glazers on down. I mean, who would say that at 4-5, Steve? That'd be nuts. I can't think that way, but I think Light tends to stick with his guys, Steve.
Yeah, I just think they probably didn't feel they found anybody better that fit their model, and you know we're going to see if it makes sense or not. A lot of these edge rushers that have been signed this offseason or midseason, you know, from Matthew Judon on around the league just haven't done too much. So, yeah, that can spook Light as well sometimes. You know, it's not like everybody's grabbed one and is kicking ass, but they're going to have to stand up. They believe that they're good enough to be 6-3 right now, and I think most Bucs fans would agree. So that's on the coach.
Yeah.
All right, Ira, you got all a right, final. You want to say goodbye to Bucs fans? Wish them well for the rest of their week.
Yeah, I can't say it enough. And Lee sounds a little skeptical, a little bit, but I got a little faith in this group. Evans comes back maybe after the bye week. They're either 5-5 or 4-6. If the schedule didn't look that soft, I wouldn't be as optimistic. I'm with Steve. I think they could go 6-1. I do. I think they could go 6-1.